Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 12, 13, and 14. Here's what the Bible says. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here. Thank you for what we've already had tonight, the testimonies and the singing. And I pray now, Father, as we come to this part of the service where we open up your word and you speak to us, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every heart, every mind tonight. Help us all to listen and help us all to appropriate what you've prepared for us tonight and look for an application in our life. Look for a way that it would help us. And so I pray, Father, you'll give us the wisdom to do that and then the discipline to work it in our life with the Holy Spirit's help. I pray if there is somebody here that doesn't know for sure that they're saved on their way to heaven, tonight they'd make sure that they'd ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just take the rest of the service, use it as you see fit. Help us to uplift Christ, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. I mentioned this morning that both of my messages today were directed and inspired, whatever word you want to use, by different conversations that I've had. Of course, the one this morning I told you about, and the one tonight actually came about as a result of two conversations that I had this week where two different people, unsolicited, came up to me and started telling me about changes that they were trying to make in their life. And as both of them told me about those changes, my thoughts went immediately to these verses that we read in Philippians. And I know I probably, and I didn't check my I keep track of everything I preach and the dates, and I know we've been here before actually with some of the same thoughts that I'm going to share with you tonight. And I don't apologize for that, because you'll listen to the same song over and over, you'll watch the same movie over and over, and so every now and then you can hear not the same sermon, but a similar sermon over and over, because the truth bears repeating. I had a guy come up to me Friday at work, and he said to me, he says, "You've inspired me to do something." I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "Well, you've inspired me to get rid of cable." I said, "Cable?" He said, "Yeah, cable TV. You've inspired me to get rid of cable." This is a guy that I've asked not a lot, but every now and then I go up to ask him, because he's a Christian. I said, I say, "How are you doing on your Bible reading?" And he's a very competitive guy. In fact, in his office, he's got this poster with a picture of a lion. And I don't know it word for word, but it goes something like this. He says, "Every morning in the jungle, the lion and, I don't know, some other animal wake up. And they know if they're going to eat that day, they have to outrun the animal that they're going to eat. And depending if they're going to be the eater or the eatee, depends how fast they run." And of course, the message of that is, you got to run every day. And his life is characterized by that. He is very, very competitive. I told him, well, it's been several years now, that I had gotten into the habit of reading the Bible through once a month. And reading the Bible through and then reading Psalms and Proverbs and the book of Acts. In addition to reading the whole Bible, those three books once a month. And I've been doing that for a couple of years. And I told him that. And I know what he started thinking. He said, "Hey, if Daryl can do that, I can do that." I mean, this guy is a big, muscular guy. And he doesn't like to be beat in anything. I mean, and when he hears about something, somebody doing something, he says, "Oh, I can do that." And so I know that's what he thought. And so last week, we were talking, and I told him, I said, "Well, I finished reading the Bible through for August already." And I said, "I really don't know what I'm going to do, because it's only the 15th of the month. And I guess I'm going to have to find something else to read because I've already read the Bible through. I've already read Psalms and Proverbs and Acts. I just get going. I got my Bible where I can read 50 pages a day and make it through in a month. And sometimes I just start reading and just keep reading. And I could just see he was seething. 15th of August, you've already read it through. And so he comes to me Friday, he said, when we were talking a week or so ago, he says, I just don't know how you do it. I said, well, I fly a lot and I travel, you know, and so every time I'm on an airplane, I read. But he says, but I've tried. I get up early in the morning. I stay up late at night. And he says, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'll be reading my Bible. And the next thing I know, I wake up. A couple hours have passed. He reads at his desk. He says, my head's down on my Bible like this, and I've drooled all over the pages. I said, you're going into way too much detail for me. So I said, let me ask you a question. This was a week ago. Let me ask you a question. Help you. How much TV do you watch a night? And he hesitated for a moment because he knew right where I was going. He says, well, I probably watch about 3 hours a night. It's all good stuff. Discovery Channel, sports, none of that trash that's on TV. I don't watch any of that. I said, okay, 3 hours a night. How much Bible do you think you could read if you took those 3 hours that you were watching TV and you spent reading your Bible? And I could see that. Oh, he was getting upset. So, week passes. I see him Friday. He says, you've inspired me. I'm going to give up cable. He said, I told my wife before I left for work this morning to call and cancel it. You told your wife, why didn't you call? Oh, and he said, no, I might change my mind. And she's been on me about the same thing. So I told her to call today as we speak. She is talking to the cable company, canceling our subscription to cable, and I'm going to quit watching TV and start reading my Bible. I said, good for you. I said, I'm going to talk to you in a couple weeks and see how you're doing. But here was a person that was dissatisfied with something that was going on in his life. And he wanted to make a change. He tried before, okay, because I mean he told me about all the things that he did to try to stay awake and read his Bible, but they didn't work. And so he's making a change. And striving for a goal to read his Bible through, and he's making a change in his life to try to make that happen. So that was a conversation I had on Friday. Yesterday, we had a wedding, big wedding. Must have been 200 people here yesterday. Wedding started at 3:00. And they wanted to get in at 1:00. The flower lady had to come and set up the flowers and. The photographer came to take some pictures. So I met him here at 1:00, a couple hours before the wedding started. And I brought a book to read. But I forgot my glasses. And luckily, when I type out my wedding ceremony, I put the print about that big. And of course, my Bible's got print about that big. And so I made it through the ceremony okay, but I couldn't read this book that I had brought. And so I was just sort of wandering around. Usually I let, you know, everybody do what they need to do at the wedding. But one of the guys that was a groomsman in the wedding was a young man that had grown up here, and he's been away for a while. And he was done with pictures and stuff like that. And so we just went over in the corner, and I said, well, how you doing? Tell me what's going on. He said, well, I'm better. I said, what do you mean you're better? He said, I want to tell you something. My life was messed up. He said, I drank too much. I hung around with people that got me into trouble. I just did all sorts of things that I shouldn't have done. And he said a few weeks ago, actually it's been longer than that, if he said a few months ago, 10 months, 11 months ago, he said, I looked at my life, I looked at where it was going, and I was dissatisfied with where I was and where it was headed. And I made a change. said, I haven't taken a drink for 10 months. And he said, you remember that Bible that you gave me when I graduated? He says, I've started to read it. I'm going to read it through cover to cover. I said, well, where are you? He said, I'm halfway through the book of Exodus. I said, good. That's good. He said, my girlfriend and I are talking, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but hopefully nobody will figure out who it is so you can go tell. But he said, my girlfriend and I have been talking. We've been talking about getting married. We've decided that we both want to finish school before we do. He says, I know what I know. I've changed my classes around because I know now what I want to do with my life. And we sort of picked out a place where we want to live after we graduate. And he says, we're looking for a church up at college so that we can start going to church together. And he said, I'm just looking forward that now that my life has direction and has some purpose in it and is not on that course that was going to lead to some place that I didn't want to be. He says, I've got some purpose now. And again, unsolicited. I mean, you know, when I asked the question, how you doing, I didn't expect an answer that would take a half an hour, but I'm glad that he shared that with me. Because again, here was a person that was dissatisfied with the way his life was going and had set some goals in his life and was reaching toward those goals and pressing toward those goals because he had them within his sight and he knew what he wanted. Again, when I heard both of those stories, I thought about these verses that Paul penned in Philippians chapter 3 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In those two verses are the three steps that are necessary for any Christian to grow. In those two verses are the three steps that are necessary for any Christian to grow. Number one, get to the point where you count yourself not to have apprehended. Number two, forget the past. And number three, press forward. Press forward. And so tonight I want to speak on the subject, I have not apprehended. I have not apprehended. Now, before I start, let me quickly remind you that it was those same three steps that you took to get saved. Let me tell you what I mean by that. You had first, before you got saved, you had to take that first step where you counted yourself not to have apprehended. You had to admit to yourself and God that you were a sinner, like we talked about this morning. You had to admit to yourself and God that you did not measure up to the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You had to admit to yourself and God that you had not arrived at that state of perfection. I've always been taught, and Dick can verify this because he took the same classes that I did. We had a preacher that when he taught us soul winning, the first thing he said was, in order to get somebody saved, you got to get them lost. In order to introduce them to Christ, they have to understand that they're a sinner. You have to get them to be able to admit that they're a sinner. And I was thinking this afternoon, you know, one sin makes us a sinner. One sin makes us a sinner. In the book of James, I think it's chapter 2, verse 10, where the Bible says, if we offend in one point, or if we break the law in one point, we are guilty of every single one. And so that means if I lie, or if I have a bad attitude about something, both of which are sins, that in God's sight, I'm just as guilty as somebody that takes another person's life. I'm just as guilty as a thief. I'm just as guilty as the adulterer. Just keep going on down the list. Sometimes we try to put our little sins in categories and say, that's a little sin, and that's a little sin, and that's a little sin, and maybe those don't bother God so much. And then we look over here and we look at other people and say, boy, those are big sins. I want to tell you something. In God's sight, we're all sinners, and it doesn't make any difference whether we call them big sins or little sins. If we break the law in one point, we're guilty of breaking it all, and we stand before God a sinner. And so in order to get saved, the first step that you took to get saved was you had to admit that in God's sight, according to God's standards, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Then number two, you had to forget the past. You had to forget what you did. Doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are, it's the kind of Savior we have. I've known a lot of people, when you talk to them about salvation, they say, well, I can't get saved because of the terrible things that I've done. God can't save me. I'm a wicked sinner. God's grace is not sufficient to save me. You don't know Brother Daryl. You don't know Daryl. You don't know Preacher. The kind of wickedness that I've been into. Doesn't matter. Forget it. As Paul says, forget it. Forget the past. God's mercy and God's grace is unlimited. God's mercy and God's grace are unfathomable. Hey, that's a big word. I thought I was going to have trouble saying that. Unfathomable. You can't comprehend how big God's mercy and God's grace is. It's big enough to cover all of our sins. So don't worry about the kind of sinner you are. Just concentrate on the kind of Savior that we have. Forget the past. And then number three, press forward. I've often heard this. You take one step toward Jesus, and that's all you need to take. You take one step toward Him, and He'll take the rest and meet you. It's not meeting you halfway. You take that first step toward Christ and tell Him, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But I believe when you went to the cross, you were paying for all my sins. And right now, I receive you and I take you. I put my hope and my trust in you, my faith in you. The moment that you do that, you're saved. You're saved. Salvation is not a process, it's an event. Salvation is not something that happens over time. Salvation is something that happens like that. It happens instantaneously the moment that you put your trust in Jesus Christ. And so these three steps should not be foreign to us because every single one of us that are saved tonight took them in order to get saved. We had to admit that we were a sinner. I haven't apprehended. I've not arrived. I got to forget my past. If I look at my past, I might think the same thing. God can't save me. And I've got to press, reach out to that one who saves me. Now, the same three steps are what it takes for a Christian to grow. And by the way, Christian growth is not an event, it's a process. It happens over time. It doesn't happen instantaneously, but it takes the same three steps. Number one, I have not apprehended. I am not completely like Jesus. I have not arrived at that state of perfection. There's some things in my life that need changing. That's what it means to say I have not apprehended. No real change comes until we get dissatisfied with some area in our life. Where we say, like this guy did at work or like this young man did yesterday, there's some things about my life that are not the way I want them. There's some things about my life are not the way God wants them. There's some things about my life that I want to change. And all of us, and I would encourage all of us, every single person tonight, I know most of you, and I'm not getting personal when I say this, I want to tell you, every single one of us in the room tonight truthfully can say, we have not arrived. We are not at that state of perfection that Jesus is. And every single one of us can find something in our life that needs to be changed to make us more like Jesus. And so tonight, I'm going to encourage you, look at your Christian life. Look at your life that you're living for Christ and identify one of those areas where you can say, I haven't apprehended. I haven't arrived. Last Sunday night, I preached a sermon. Those of you that were here remember it. It was kind of a mean sermon. Are you a Christian or just born again? And I ask you four questions, trying to get you to think, are you like Jesus? I said to be a Christian, you have to love your enemies like Jesus loved His enemies. You have to endure suffering like Jesus endured suffering. You have to forgive like Jesus forgave. You have to love the lost like Jesus loved the lost. And last Sunday night, one of our dear ladies came out, And by the way, if anybody's a Christian, she's one. She's one. And just in a passing comment, as she was going out, she said, "You know, I've forgiven everybody in my life except one. One person." She mentioned that person. She reminded me what that person did. And I said, "Why don't you just go ahead and forgive her? Why don't you just go ahead and send her a note? Send her a little present?" And the fact that that person was brought to your mind as I preached that sermon means that the Holy Spirit put that person on your mind and on your heart. So why don't you just go ahead and forgive that one person. And so that's what I'm talking about tonight. I mean, the book of James says that this book is like a mirror. That when we come to it and we hold it up to ourselves and we see something wrong and then we just turn away without fixing it. Just like when you look in a mirror and your hair's messed up and your tie's not straight, or your ladies, if your makeup's messed up, if you don't fix it, then there's no reason to look in a mirror. But if when you look in the mirror, you see something wrong and you fix it, then that's the right thing to do. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to the Word of God. As we look into the Word of God and we see in our life as our reflection is compared to the Word of God, if we see something wrong, then go ahead and fix it. That's the Holy Spirit pointing it out to us, just like looking in a mirror. And the Bible says it's foolishness to look in a mirror and see something wrong and not fix it. And it's more foolish to have to look into the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit convict you about something that needs to be changed in your life, and then you turn away and don't take care of it. It's foolish. And so, I'm not going to help you decide tonight what area of that life of your life that needs changing is. You know it better than I do. And I dare say that the Holy Spirit may be bringing something to your mind right now that He's been working on you on. That one area, or two areas, and by the way, I like what Paul says. This one thing I do. Too many of us try to change too much. We try to change 18, 19 areas at the same time, and we don't get anything done. I like what Paul says. This one thing I do. Work on them one at a time. Let the Holy Spirit convict you about things one at a time. Fix that one, then He'll show you the next one. So I'd encourage you tonight, look at your Christian life. Look at the areas as you read this book that need to be changed, and let the Holy Spirit help you change them. Number two, forget your past. Paul certainly had to. I mean, when he was talking in the book of Philippians, remember Paul, and when he was known as Saul, he was the one that rounded up Christians. He's the one that hauled them to jail. He's the one that brought them before the religious ruler so they could be persecuted, fed to the lions, used as human wicks to light the way. I mean, that was the one. He thought it was his duty as a Jew to wipe out this way that was worshiping Christ, and he did it with all the vigor that you could get. Now, when he saw the Lord on the road to Damascus and he got saved, he went after salvation with the same zeal that he persecuted Christians with. Can you imagine what kind of ministry Paul would have had if he would have dwelt on the past? I don't think much of one at all. He had to follow what the Holy Spirit was saying in this verse. He said, "I had to forget the past. Man, I was a rotten person. I killed Christians. I was the one that had them fed to lions. I stood by when they were stoned." He had to forget that. And he had to move on. Now, I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit will convict you about some areas in your life where you've tried in the past to change and you failed. And you might, and maybe one or two times, maybe three or four times. And the Holy Spirit keeps bringing you back to that area because that's the one you need to change. That's the one where you need to grow in. Forget the past. Forget the failures you had before and concentrate on that one thing, as Paul says, and then reach and press. Reach and press. Here's my goal. Here's what I'm trying to accomplish. I want to reach this goal. And just, I don't know if Dick remembers this or not. I'll never forget one Sunday over at Landmark, we were giving out nachos. I think, to people that brought a certain number of people on the bus. I don't know, he had to bring 5 or 10 and you got some nachos. And the pastor was going around, he had some nachos he was eating. And there was this little black boy. He must have been 5 or 6 years old. He was following the preacher around. He says, "Can I have a nacho? Can I have a nacho?" I mean, preacher was going from bus to bus. Dick, you remember this? He's going to bus to bus. "Can I have a nacho? Can I have a nacho? Can I have a nacho?" I mean, he'd follow me. "Can I have a nacho?" And that picture comes to mind when I think about reaching out. It's wanting something so bad. It's having a desire for it so bad that you just got your hands reached out and say, "This is what I want. This is my goal. This is what the Holy Spirit's convicted me about." And then I reach out and I press. Press. Now here's what that word conjures up. It means constant pressure. It means striving for it all the time. It means not taking your eye off it, not taking your desire on it, but pressing toward that mark. And if you're gonna wrought change in your life, if you're gonna grow as a Christian, that's the kind of desire that you got to have. I want it. I'm reaching out for it. And I'm pressing. 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 I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, "Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." And that's what every one of us should want. It happens when we say, like Paul, "I've not arrived. I'm not where God wants me to be yet. I got to forget all the times I've failed before, and I'm going to reach out because I want to be more like Jesus." And by the way, that's what the Holy Spirit wants for every single Christian. He wants to make you more like Jesus. That's the purpose that's why the Holy Spirit lives in us. That's why the Holy Spirit works on us. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. And I'll tell you what, it might be a weird way to think about it, but the sooner you get to be like Jesus, the sooner you'll get to go be with Him. So don't fight it. Say, "Holy Spirit, okay, I'm ready for the next thing. What is it? Show me. Show me. Help me get dissatisfied with that area of my life. Help me to forget all the times I might have tried to change it before, and then help me to want it. Help me to want it, so I'll press toward that in my life." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this reminder from your word. Simple, 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 but so profound. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you would tonight, as individuals, you'd point out to us those areas in our life that we need to grow in, those areas in our life that we need to change. And I pray, Father, that we could follow these steps that Paul outlined in these two verses, that we'd admit that we need to change. We'd forget about the past, and we'd reach out with a desire that's given to us by you to grow in that area of our life. So we give ourselves to you tonight, Holy Spirit. Point those areas out. Help us to be obedient. Help us to have a desire to change it. And Father, I pray if there is somebody here, as I look around, I think by their own testimony, every person here is saved, but you know our hearts. And so I pray if there is somebody here tonight that isn't sure that heaven is theirs, they're not sure that their sins have been forgiven, then I pray tonight they come and make sure. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.